Park Row Books and Harper Audio present Disasterology, Dispatches from the Frontlines of the Climate Crisis by Dr. Samantha Montano. Read by Eileen Stevens. Introduction. At the start of every disaster movie, there's a scientist being ignored. Unknown. In the final days of April 1990, my mother went into labor in a town where babies were being born with an increased rate of cancer. It would take years to show the culprit was toxic chemicals from an old coal tar gasification plant that had seeped out of decaying buried drums beneath the town park, where children played under the watchful eye of their pregnant mothers. The women didn't know that while they sat on park benches worrying about scraped knees and twisted ankles, their unborn children were being poisoned. Like many other communities across the country, our little town of Taylorville in south-central Illinois was on the cusp of a public health crisis. Our mothers had no expectation of the government riding in on white horses to save them, even if they believed they should. My parents, new to town by way of New York City, were viscerally aware of the fight that lay ahead. In Greenwich Village, they had watched the government ignore the AIDS crisis in the 80s. Leaving them with no illusion that a small town, suffering a comparably small medical crisis, would garner attention or action. It was into this fight, in the last days of April 1990, that I was born and dressed in a little white onesie with TAG, Taylorville Awareness Group, handwritten in Sharpie across my chest. As she had during the AIDS crisis, my mother joined her neighbors in a battle that they hoped would one day lead to justice. The group, 200 strong, demanded the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency and the Illinois Department of Public Health test the contaminated park. It was eventually uncovered that SIPS Gas Plant, the owners of the property, had buried 50,000 gallons of coal tar underground before selling the land. In 1985, unaware of the buried carcinogens, the new property owners began digging on the site, and in the process, release the hazardous materials. The families who had suffered direct health impacts sued SIPS and were awarded $3.2 million. Not much given the legal fees and lifelong healthcare bills. It took years of constant public pressure from TAG, but the site was eventually cleaned up. For their efforts, Taylorville joined the ranks of communities that have banded together to fight for their own health and safety in the absence of government regulation, oversight, an intervention. As protests continued in Taylorville, my parents moved back east to a town where they would not have to worry about their children living so close to a Superfund site. So despite a dramatic beginning, I grew up in Maine, where my weekends were spent in the mountains and my afternoons by the sea. Valuing nature was part of the culture. So when our middle school science teacher told us about climate change, then called global warming, my first thought was the health of the planet, not what it meant for us. It was a pre-inconvenient truth world, and our teacher's understanding of climate change was rudimentary. She explained that since the Industrial Revolution, people in industrialized countries had released so many greenhouse gases into the atmosphere that the entire climate of the planet was changing. By 2100, the coral reefs and ice caps could be gone. At 12 years old, something that might happen at the bottom of the ocean and high up in the mountains in over a century was too abstract for me to grasp. I also did not believe any of it would actually happen. I understood humans were changing the climate, but I thought we would surely do something to stop it. It was only recently, as I listened to youth climate activist Greta Thunberg, that I realized my healthy skepticism of the seriousness of global warming my science teacher casually presented was rooted in the belief that if this horrific future was a real possibility, we wouldn't be talking about anything else. At my most imaginative, I could not envision that climate change could mean anything worse than slightly warmer Maine winters and an ocean that rose a bit closer to the edges of our lighthouses. Our teachers presented us with simple solutions. We could stop global warming and save the polar bears by making environmentally friendly choices each day. They gave us worksheets with checklists of tasks that would lessen our carbon footprints. Recycle, ride our bikes, turn off lights, plant a tree.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?